Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It's back in the news today, concerns over the health effects of cell phone use. The latest research, a Danish study of more than 350,000 people showing that there was no difference in cancer rates between people who had used cell phones for more than a decade and people who had not. But my next guest says there are some good reasons to doubt the results. Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, founding director of the Toxicology and Environmental Studies Board at the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, also the author of the book Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. Welcome to the program, Dr. Davis.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be with you today.
Now, when you combine a 10-year period with a study group of hundreds of thousands, that seems to have all the elements of a definitive study. Why are you not buying these results?
Well, in order for a study to really be definitive on something that's rare, like brain cancer, you actually have to study millions of people for decades, because we know that brain cancer can take decades to develop. What this study did is it started out originally with 700,000 people and threw out almost half of them because they were business users, and the researchers said they couldn't prove that only one person in a business had used a phone. Perhaps they had shared phones. So they threw out the heaviest users altogether, and then they looked at people who they defined as a cell phone user, someone who made one call a week for 6 months. So with that population of people who excluded the heaviest users, included people who only made one call a week for 6 months, they then compared the brain cancer development in that group to people who started to use cell phones after 1995. Well, guess what? Most of us started to use cell phones heavily after 1995. So, not surprisingly, they found nothing.
The National Cancer Institute says that the jury is still out on the real effect of cell phone use, but their experts say that we're seeing a growing number of studies that confirm the lack of a link between cell phone use and cancer. Are all these studies flawed?
Many of the studies are flawed, and in fact, not all studies are finding no link. The World Health Organization just concluded quite the opposite in May when it issued a report where it concluded that cell phone radiation should be regarded as a possible cause of cancer in humans, just like engine exhausts from diesel engines and some pesticides. Now, that report, the industry's been very keen to try to discredit it, pointing out that the World Health Organization has also concluded that some uses of caffeine can increase the risk of cancer, which it can, and it can also reduce the risk of other cancer. The reality is when the World Health Organization pulls together an expert group to review all of the evidence on whether or not something causes cancer, they take a good hard look at it. And when they reach the conclusion, which they did, that cell phone and other wireless forms of radiation should be regarded as a possible cause of cancer in humans, that was a very serious effort and not something that can be duked out in the media with dueling press releases.
It seems like basically all of us now use cell phones, and many of us have used cell phones for well over a decade. At the same time, it's very rare from at least what I've seen, and I'd say many would agree, that we see people that actually suffer ill effects from the use of cell phones.
Absolutely right, and we want to keep it rare. That's why Environmental Health Trust, the group that I'm founded and leading with expert scientists around the world, believes that we need to tell people how to practice safe phone. And that's not that hard. It simply means use a speakerphone, use a headset, and don't keep phones on your body. We're not opposed to cell phones. We think they've revolutionized our lives in many ways for the better. But people have to be smart and understand that a cell phone is a two-way microwave radio. Microwave radiation in an oven can boil a cup of water in a minute at 1,000 watts of power. Microwave radiation from a cell phone is less than 1 watt of power, but we may be holding that phone, that microwave radiating device, next to our brain for thousands of minutes a month. So it makes sense to take simple precautions.
I'm talking to Dr. Deborah Lee Davis. She's the author of the book Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. I do wonder now, if the cell phone industry were to admit the real dangers of using cell phones, wouldn't the simple and even profitable solution involve selling Bluetooth units and headsets? And why would they be so resistant to doing so?
Because they have an obligation to the unfortunately growing number of people with brain tumors who would not have those brain tumors if they had been told about safer ways to use cell phones. If you look at the fine print warnings that come with every smartphone that people will buy today, the iPhone, the Droid, it says, in the case of the iPhone 4, If you put it in your pocket, you can exceed the FCC exposure guidelines. It says for the BlackBerry, pregnant women should not have it close to their abdomen, nor should teenagers. Now, why are those fine print warnings there? Because, in fact, phones cannot be used safely directly on the body. And that is exactly how most people use them. They put them in their shirt pocket, in their pants pocket, not knowing that phones are only tested in two positions, next to the head and on the hip. And if they were tested in the pants or shirt pocket, a paper we recently released would show that the exposures would be 4 to 7 times greater and would not pass the current standards.
So where does that leave a person? You're saying even having a cell phone against your body or in your pocket is dangerous. How then?
When it's turned on. Yes. Here's the, in Europe, phones are set so that they don't seek signals when they're in your pocket. Here, we have our phones so that unless you turn it off, it's pushing for a message every 15 seconds or so. And that means every time a phone is pushing for a message, it sends microwave radiation out from the phone, and half of that radiation gets into you. Now, we could program our phones differently, and that's a good would be a good solution. We could arrange phones with a parental control chip so that parents could give children phones that only worked if they were plugged into a headset. There are a lot of ways this technology can be improved, and there's a lot of money to be made yet from the industry by making these advances. We're working with people in industry now, mostly in Europe, who are seeking to improve the design of phones, recognizing that we can do a better job here.
Now, the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Communications Commission both say there is no evidence that cell phones can be linked to cancer. Why are they insisting on that position, do you think?
Well, they don't exactly say that. In fact, if you look at the FCC website, what it does say is that if you're concerned about radiation from cell phones, here's what you can do. Keep distance, use a headset, turn it off, don't use it in areas where the signal is weak, and don't talk as much. And then it says, but you don't really need to be concerned. But if you are, here's how you can reduce your exposure. And that kind of double talk, unfortunately, is confusing to the American public. We need to be a little clearer about these things, and that's why Environmental Health Trust is working with organizations around the world today to promote sensible policy so that all of us will be safer and healthier in the future.
Finally, where is this debate going to go? This is another study that's going to be piled on to the side that says there is no real link. There may be some admission of some moderate concern when it comes to cell phone use, but it looks like there's not going to be a full admission that cell phone use causes cancer. So where do you see things moving ahead from here?
Well, as a matter of fact, cancer is not the thing I'm most concerned about. I recently came back from visiting researchers in Europe who have shown that prenatal exposure to pregnant rabbits and rats produces offspring that have fewer brain cells and more damage to the DNA in their brain, liver, and eyes if they've been exposed throughout pregnancy to cell phone radiation. I think that we are going to see growing reports on reproductive harm associated with cell phone use in experimental animals, such as I just mentioned, but also in young men whose keeping phones in their pocket has resulted in reduced sperm count and more damage to their sperm. I think the studies that no one has been able to refute have been done with human sperm that are, I think, very important. And they have found that if you take a sample of sperm from a young man and put it into two different test tubes, and one test tube gets exposed to cell phone radiation and the other does not, the sperm will all naturally die, but the sperm exposed to cell phone radiation die 3 times faster and have 3 times more markers of damage on the DNA in the sperm engine called the mitochondria. That's very, very worrying, and I think that's going to lead us to come up with better policies and better designs for phones today.
That is very scary, and I must say that I have to assume, and I know the previous cell phones were far more, let's say, dangerous. I mean, the industry is on its own creating safer, and I guess phones that produce less radiation. Is that not so?
Yeah, it's not just the amount of radiation, but it's the nature of the signal. Pulsed digital radiation may be much more disruptive than a continuous signal. And it's the pulse nature of the signal that may be more important than the power of the signal. So that's yet another way. This is a very complicated set of issues we have to consider. And the technology is complicated. It's revolutionized the world. It's improved our ability to respond to emergencies. But we've got to be smarter about how we use these things, and we've got to stop encouraging our children, and certainly young children, to use cell phones as pacifiers and toys when they're connected to the Internet.
Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, founding director of the Toxicology and Environmental Studies Board at the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, and the author of the book Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. Thank you very much for coming on the show and enlightening us on this topic.
Thank you for your interest, Michael.
And we'll be right back to get a bit of a different perspective on this debate from an expert with the National Cancer Institute. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.